Well, welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 120. All right, Nerdist Podcast Live, touring around America a handful of times. October 14th, Nerdist Podcast Live at the Gramercy Theater in New York. I believe the 10:30 show is almost sold out, but it looks like we're going to add an 8 o'clock show. So try to grab tickets when you can. Also, October 22nd, the following week, we'll be at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon. So make sure and come out to that. You hear that, dog? I fucking hate that dog. What is he so excited about? You know what? Fuck that dog. He's not coming to the podcast. Fuck you, dog. You're not coming to the podcast. Neighbor's dog barking at shit. Oh, did a squirrel do a thing? Let's get diarrhea about that. Hey, the Nerdist Podcast television show is coming to BBC America September 24th. I believe it's going to be on right after Doctor Who. That'll be September 24th at 10, 9 central. Please watch and support that so that we can make more of those, so that we can keep Matthew employed. That would be fun. Also, I would like to thank our returning sponsor to this episode of Nerdist Podcast, which is GoToMeeting. It's video conferencing software, which, if you need to have meetings and you can't go to a place, it brings your meetings right to your desk or laptop. It's simple and smart, dynamic. Smart, intuitive controls allow you to host your first meeting right away. You can schedule in advance, or you could do it right on the fly if you need to. Everyone jumps right on. They see your computer in seconds. You can collaborate on files and documents in real time. So sign up for your 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Hold all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. Phone and voice over IP conferencing is included for free. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter the promo code Nerdist. And now another Hostful Goodness episode, the Nerdist Podcast number 120.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Seems to be recording. Hey guys!
Hey, but you know what? So all the days I figured, you know, Chris isn't coming in today. Yeah,
I know, it's good. So I'm so sorry. Are we hijacking your thing?
No, and we passed right by you guys, and and Jimmy says to me, hey, do you think we should ask them if they're going to do their podcast today? I said, oh, they're not going to do that. Let's go get our coffee.
What the fuck? Come on. What are they going to do?
Do I see this?
We don't assemble unless we're going to do the podcast.
Yeah, we tried not to hang out with each other.
We're like the police. We can't hang out socially. We hate each other socially.
But when we get together, so lonely, so lonely, so lonely.
All right. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
We feel bad.
Oh, okay. No.
Yes. Feel bad.
Feel bad that we're hijacking your studio space.
No.
To come in here and
studio.
Do our nerd show.
That's it, right?
That's the police. That's the police, right?
You what?
You should call to hijack Seacrest Studio, too.
Should we hijack Big Studio A?
Yeah,
come on down.
Yeah.
Especially when he's doing AT-40.
I like the goatee you got rocking there.
It's like, you know.
That's your Breaking Bad goatee?
Nick. Nick, are you selling meth? After Cranston came on, wait a minute.
Is he making? Is he manufacturing?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Walter makes meth. He doesn't sell it.
Right.
Welcome, gentlemen. Matthew.
Yes, sir.
Why are you still dizzy?
Over the weekend on Sunday during my show, I had heat exhaustion, or so I was told. I was just about to bring another comic on stage, and I got super dizzy and sweaty and almost fell over. Like,
did everyone notice?
I don't know until I told them what was happening.
How'd it do?
Did pretty well.
How'd it do?
I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, you're going to keep it?
No, but it was kind of terrifying because it happened so suddenly, and then I sort of lost all motor control. And my
did you crap your shorts?
No, but I
did
was wearing
you pee
pants.
Your shorts?
I was wearing pants.
I know Matt owns pants now.
Yeah. Well, were you drinking water at all during the very hot day that was Sunday?
I was drinking, but you know, coffee and like you know,
oh
nothing
the stuff that the opposite.
Oh, the
diuretics.
Opposite of water. Yeah, the stuff that actually dehydrates you.
Yeah. Well, you know, live and learn, right?
Matthew.
Yes.
Number one, you have got to quit smoking. Number two. Uh-huh. stay hydrated.
That was a funny thing.
I've told you that many times.
I was getting dizzy, and then I was like trying to think of why I could be dizzy, and then I thought, did I quit smoking?
Because Matt passed out the last time.
Well,
he quit smoking.
Out. I just was got really dizzy.
Well, that was in New York, right?
Yes, that was in New York.
We were in New York, and I remember I was pushing you to drink more water.
It was right after we did the Gaffigan podcast.
Yes. He had to go to take a nap, man.
Yeah.
Also, I got him really drunk the night before.
Oh. Yeah. Did you get him drunk this time?
No.
So, anyway, that was that.
God damn it.
I like how you said, too, I'm still dizzy. I didn't know what that was in context.
Everybody else I know knew that.
How?
Except you guys.
How?
Twitter, and there were a shitload of people at the theater on Sunday because of the Brendan Walsh show that was immediately following. So, like, Kumail and Emily were there.
Yeah.
You were busy VMAing.
I was VMAing.
But, yeah, no, it was pretty weird, and I just had to go home. I couldn't drive because I was that dizzy.
Jeez.
Like
vertigo?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
I'm
like,
sorry.
Lightheaded. Like, I was very sort of like, what is happening to my body? Am I dying? I really kind of thought I might be dying.
Well, yeah, when something weird happens suddenly, my first thought is always, well, I better get my affairs in order.
Yeah. Blaine Kapach was talking about that, where it's like he says every once in a while, like, he'll just get real dizzy and everything will start to go black. And he says many times in life, he's been, all right, this is it. I'm about to pass out on the sidewalk and die.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
Well, Blaine's 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Matt,
yes.
You've got to take care of yourself.
I try.
We love you. We want you to be okay.
For
just
the most part.
Drink water. Drink plenty of water.
Plenty of water.
And coffee. Stop. And Red Bull and 5-Hour Energy.
Right? No, you're not drinking that shit, are you?
Yes.
Are you serious?
That's the only thing that keeps me going.
No, it's not.
It is.
Matthew, you can't do that shit. You
Why?
Can't do it because it's bad for you.
If you need that stuff, do the Rockstar Recovery stuff, the milk vessel stuff. I mean, at least that hydrates you and gives you B vitamins. I'm saying if he needs an energy drink of some sort.
Oh, you can't drink coffee and 5-Hour Energy and not drink water
and
in the Red Bull in the dead of summer. You can't.
In a span of 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny. It's like, you know, like you talk to people sometimes and they're like, this reminds me of this. When I used to guest host Loveline and people would call in and Drew was so good at figuring out because he'd just been doing the show for so long. And so like a girl would call in and go, hi, I like to get punched during sex. Is that weird? And then Drew would look at me and be like, kind of off mic and go, watch this. Anything ever happened to you in your life? No. Did anyone ever put their hands on you? No. Well, I mean, my uncle fingered me when I was 13. Could that be it?
Yeah,
he's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, like, when you start.
So you're saying my uncle fingered me when I was 13.
You're fingering. You are your own uncle, and you're fingering yourself.
Yeah, no, your uncle waterboarded you, and that's why you have such an aversion to liquids.
Love it.
But when you start looking at all of the elements surrounding what's going on, it is not surprising to see why you.
No, and I know that. I mean. I didn't. It's been a.
Can't you drink green tea?
It's been a long week and a half.
How about green tea?
Yes, green tea is great. No, that was the thing that I went and picked up at 7-Eleven. I was like, oh, I'm very tired and I need
coconut water too. It hydrates you pretty fast.
Also, you can get Pedialyte, which a lot of people like musicians when
I ain't no kid.
Yes, you are. You're a giant baby. You're a giant fucking baby.
You know, like quick fixes in the store though, like you know, like. Coconut water, which is very tasty, and you know,
coconut
Gatorade.
Water has sugar, my friend.
What
doesn't it have sugar in it?
Yeah, I think it's okay
Don't
for you to
worry.
Cheat on your diet.
Yeah, when you're trying to not pass out in life.
Yeah, whatever, guys. You say that now.
Yeah,
but I'm wearing pants.
Listen, sweetheart. I just
didn't
want
get
you
this
to
way
stay.
With coconut water.
I want you to stay trim and sexy, so I can still get boners. But if you have time, take care of yourself.
Take
too.
Care of yourself then.
I want you to put on this fucking corset.
Smoking in Red Bull keeps me in pants.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
maybe
Matthew.
The diet that you've been working really hard
Jesus
on is
Jesus
well,
Christ, Matthew.
It's sugar-free Red Bull. For the record, it's sugar-free Red Bull, you guys.
No one cares. There's no difference.
Care? Wait, what do you mean no one cares? I personally care.
You personally care? Does it make you feel better that you're drinking that?
Sugar-free Red Bull?
Yeah.
Or the regular Red Bull? Yes,
Red Bull gives you shits.
Just like you see this guy fly up in the air and just shit his cartoon.
That's how he's propelling himself into heaven.
Just a cartoon shit stream.
And then he goes into shit heaven.
Yep.
Everyone's
Shevin.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Up in the show.
But yeah, no, so that was that. That was my weekend. I found out, by the way, that I have Labor Day off. Isn't that fucking cool?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Everyone has Labor Day off.
Not the Apple Store.
You don't work there anymore. You don't work there anymore.
I'm really excited.
How were the VMAs for you, Jonah Ray?
They were fun. It was fun. You know, like, it's neat. It's a live, huge live show. It's bigger than anything you can imagine. Just the amount of people working on this thing, all the set changes, all the just the Teamsters, the amount of people there, the celebrities, the fucking, like, it was awesome. It was just neat because I like events. I like, you know, things that are bigger than, like, normal things I used to go to.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy. And I was into, like, this little side room with the other writers, and we were in the pre-read room. So, like, celebrities would come in, mm-hmm. pre-read the copy that we wrote, mm-hmm. and then they would be on their way.
So you met everyone.
I was, like, in the same room as the Kim Kardashian.
How's that ass?
Huge. It's huge.
I love it.
It's big ass. Biggest ass I've seen.
I love your, love your matter of fact.
Yeah, yeah. It's big.
We had to give it its own podium.
Yeah, yeah.
And its own teleprompter.
Yeah. But here's the craziest part. So, you know, we're writing.
Here's the craziest part. Kim Kardashian's famous.
Yeah.
That's the craziest part.
Well, it's not that crazy if you think about our modern day. Yeah. Chris, you make a video of you getting fucked by Ray J, and then I'm pretty sure you'd become famous.
A lot of people suggested that we call you Ray J, or J Ray.
J Ray. That's what a lot of my friends call me, J Ray.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a nice term of endearment.
God, like, damn it.
It's really good.
I'm going to find one that you're going to slightly come up against. And
but
then,
Jonah, yeah. I thought might have been it.
Well, Jonah is, it's funny because it's a, you know, it's like Virginia Jones. It's like a really cool nickname.
I do like J-Ray. I kind of like J-Ray.
J-Ray is good.
Myra Bowie and J-Ray. If we're going to become the morning show that you guys want this show to become, it's Myra Bowie and Ray J with the Big C.
Coming at ya.
Oh, wait, not the Big C, just Big C. Big C in the morning with Myra Bowie and Ray and J-Ray.
There's going to be a day.
Brought to you by Craig and Auto Parts.
Really soon, or I slip Big C into prompter during a gadget prompt. It's going
to
happen.
Please do it.
I give this.
Prompter, I improvise everything. What are you talking about, prompter? Oh, we just improvise the show start to finish.
This is crazy.
You're going to end it with, I give this TV a Big C. I mean, C+. C+ is what I give.
C++. All right. So anyway, yeah. So you're in the room with all these famous people.
It's neat. But, like, you know, you write so much stuff over them. But, like, there's so many things you have to take into consideration. It's like, will it pass, like, the writer's room? And then will the head writer, like, pass it on to the talent who will then pass it on to the managers or the representation of that celebrity? So, and then, like, you know, there will be, then if you have two people together, it's like they have to come. That's why everything gets to be kind of bland on these shows, because you have these funny ideas that have to have all the teeth and snark and all this, you know, the jokes taken out, so both parties are comfortable with what they're saying on stage.
So ultimately, like, you're saying putting too many cooks in the kitchen makes a bland dish?
Pretty much. It's like, you know, with Kim Kardashian, we couldn't mention the wedding she just had. We couldn't mention her ass. Right. We couldn't mention, like, her husband, her boyfriend, her sister. It's like, so all of a sudden, you have Kim Kardashian going out on the stage going, Webster's Dictionary defines rock music, you know, it's just which was like, me and DC Pearson were like, that was basically our go-to joke, which was just like, Webster's Dictionary defines, you know.
With her, I would have just written something completely opposite about, like, unified field theory or something.
But then, like,
or fluid dynamics.
No, and then you do something like that, and then they go, well, no, she's not going to want to do that. And it just, everything gets deflated. But then some stuff works out. Like, we were, like, writing all these different things for Paul Rudd and Rick Ross, and then Paul Rudd was, like,
of course it worked out. All
of his people were saying, like, he doesn't want to mention Slapping the Bass, and no one wants to mention, like, you know, this movie, that thing, Clueless, whatever. And then finally, like, Paul Rudd just, like, wrote something himself and sent it in, and we're like, fuck, that's great.
Yeah, because he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. And then, like, you know, it was just neat. You know, I was in the room with Odd Future and Jack Black, Will Ferrell, and Seth Rogen.
Sweet.
And all the Odd Future crew guys were just flipping out over, like, Seth Rogen's laugh. It's like this one kid, like, and they're all young. All the Odd Future crew, that, you know, like Tyler the Creator and all these kids, they're all really young. And, like, it's like this kid couldn't handle Seth Rogen's laugh. He's like, ah, man, that laugh. Oh, fuck.
Wait, they were swearing?
Yeah. They were little kids swearing.
I didn't realize it was going to be that kind
they
of
were
a
hip-hoppers.
Production.
Hip-hop-a-tears.
I got to do that once years ago. Patton was supposed to write jokes for Jeremy Piven at the what channel was it? Was it IFC or one of the channels where they honored Al Pacino. You know, like they, one of the channels did this thing where, like, every year they go, like, the American Cinema, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I remember
Cinematique,
that.
Maybe? Yeah. American Cinematique. And so they honor an actor, and so they did.
It was on USA.
Was it USA?
Yeah, I believe it was.
I mean, just really just an excuse to have a big award show and sell advertising and whatnot. Anyway, so this was years ago, and so Piven was hosting, and Patton was supposed to write jokes for him during the show, and he couldn't do it, so he called me. He's like, hey, you want to go? Hey, man, you want to go write jokes on Jerry Piven? I was like, all right, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
I rented a tux and went down.
Then you're put in a room off to the side where no one sees you.
Well, yeah, so we get there, and it's me and Blaine. It's me and Blaine and Patch. So we get ushered into this hotel room, and it's just us and Piven, and he's like, what do you got? We're like,
yeah. And he's an intense guy.
He was really nice to us, though.
He is intense.
He was very nice to us, and so we stood off the side of the show, and then he would go run off stage, and then we'd scribble jokes, and they'd throw him in the prompter, and then he'd go out and do them, and it was...
It's exhilarating.
It was exhilarating because you're like, holy shit, there's no... You can't overthink this because you just have to fucking, you're writing on the spot where things are happening. You're like, say this. and he did. And he was really cool. And
that's
and then I didn't meet any of these people, but Charlize Theron, who was enormous and you can't take your eyes off her.
I thought she was petite.
Visage. She was very tall when I saw her. Maybe.
How tall is she?
I don't know. It's like 7'2" or something.
I thought she was not that tall. That's okay.
She looked very tall to me. And it was just a weird.
Did she glow in person? I think she'd glow.
She glowed.
Yeah.
She glowed.
It was neat. The performances at the VMAs were pretty rad. I mean, it was pretty cool scene. My favorite was probably it's a toss up between Adele. Her performance
of
the song she's sang is so fucking beautiful. I watched it during like rehearsal 5 times in a row and never got tired of it. Mm-hmm. And then Beyonce's performance, which was just awesome. And it's weird. I heard the song for the first time when she was performing it in rehearsal, and it was great. It was like it sounded like Quincy Jones wrote this song. That, mm-hmm. It's that kind of era. And then I listened to it on the record, and it's not as good, but it's still a great song. Like I'm kind of sold on that album.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
Yeah. Recommends. Yeah. Beyonce.
I've not been to the Video Music Awards. I did correspondence stuff for them in 95.
Nice. I saw that guy outside. Me and Sean O'Connor, who was another one of the writers, he was like, there was a guy doing the corresponding stuff as people were walking by. He's just like, Demi Lovato!
This is a little... Well, I did correspondence stuff on the VMAs. And so I saw rehearsals. I saw Michael Jackson rehearse, which was crazy.
Is that the year that he kissed? No, that was the movie awards.
That was way before. And who else was there in 95? It was Hole performed and REM and Live and White Zombie and Dennis Miller hosted.
Oh, that's right.
That should give you an idea of how long ago it was when Dennis Miller was hosting the Video Music Awards.
Yeah.
So that experience of getting to see the rehearsals and like, holy shit, like that's one of the, those are some of the best music experiences you can ever have because it's just you and maybe 10 other people and you know, one of the biggest performers in entertainment.
Like seeing Kanye West and Jay-Z do Otis from...
Did you write jokes for them?
No, they didn't do any presenting. So they just came out and did their thing.
Like an animal presents? It just holds up its butt. they're presenting.
Look at my
Kanye and Jay-Z are presenting.
Presenting themselves to me.
We'd better inseminate them.
But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty neat.
So you're glad. So it would all worked out for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was the highest rated VMAs of all time.
What the fuck?
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Oh, you watched it?
Nope.
Huh.
It's because of this podcast. People knew you were going to be on, so they supported you.
It was kind of neat. Now, like a lot of people were tweeting me because on MTV.com they had a web camera on like the prep room. And so it was just like, it'd be like all the Jersey Shore girls. Oh, and I got to meet Cloris Leachman, which was a fucking dream come true.
She's amazing.
She's so awesome. She's one of my favorite comedic actresses of all time. I mean, like just her work in High Anxiety alone as Nurse Diesel is like something to fucking
Young
know.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Young Frankenstein. And like I met her.
Phyllis.
I was like, I'm a big fan of yours. And she's like, oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. She'll riff with you, though. She'll riff with you.
Yeah, maybe.
You should have riffed it.
I it was weird. It was in the green room. It was just a kind of an odd thing.
I had
thing.
To interview her for one of the roasts, and everyone at the roast was making fun of, like, she's old, so her vagina's huge.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
I was like,
that.
Hey, how are you dealing with the big vagina joke? She was like, oh, they're right. I have to tie it around my waist. Like, she's like a...
Yeah.
You talk to her, you're like, she's a fucking comic.
Yeah.
And she's like 82,
I
think.
She's really old. And she was also great in Sky High.
I guess the rumor mill is that she was a smoking hot roll in the hay back in the day.
Wow. Yeah. Sure.
Yep. Nick, you ever hear about that? Cloris Leachman being a smoking hot roll in the hay back in the old days?
I tell you, she was, and I have seen
Wait, Nick.
I've seen, there's a TCM. I always have TCM on up here. I saw some movies of hers like in the 50s. She was hot.
But apparently she was like, if you had sex with her, it was one of the greatest experiences of your life.
I heard the same of Betty White, but I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. Guys, we have to get the two of them together.
Oh, can you imagine a threesome?
Let's pull a train on Betty White.
Honest, to be honest with them, it'd be a 30-some.
Hey! Whoa. Wow. These are jokes and a joke.
Their combined ages would be almost a bicentennial.
Hey, that's totally true.
It would be a sesquicentennial, at least.
Elderly scissor sex. What?
It's how you start fires.
These need to be. If you're a camper and you need to start a fire, just get Cloris Leachman to fuck Betty White over some kindling.
Fire.
Well, she'll never be on the show now.
It's all right. She'll be dead by the time it's there.
Shut the fuck up, you piece. You dizzy piece of shit.
Fucked hard.
Hey, yay, finally got him back, Jonah. Yeah, he was really waiting. It. He was waiting.
See how much it doesn't hurt?
It hurt a lot.
I'm very excited that you got to do that. That's
yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm really
I just
really
don't
sick.
Even like to say, you know, retard or fucked hard or any variation thereof. That's why I came out and I was like, oh.
Shouldn't have said that, man.
I shouldn't have. That's what I should not have said. But anyway, we've moved on. It's out there.
How was your first week on Attack?
Busy.
Yeah, it's busy. It's a full-time job.
Like when people say it's a lot of work, they mean it. And,
yeah.
It's probably the most work I've ever done. And people there are great. Everybody's awesome. And I just got to try. I got to learn from the other segment producers to turn my brain off when I'm not at work.
Yeah, that's
a problem.
Yeah. I can't give you advice on that because I'm never able to do that. So I think... Don't do it with smoking. Here's the thing about, you know, can I recommend something a little new agey for you?
Okay.
And I'm not like Mr.
No,
new agey guy.
Actually, no.
Can I play Orinoco Flow while
Would you? Can you pull it up?
Yeah.
Do you have that on your phone?
Yeah, it's one of the best songs ever, I think.
Do you want to? Okay.
Oh,
you're going to pull it up?
I'm pulling it up.
All right.
I think you tread water.
Hey, come on, J Ray. What are we doing here? It's like we're trying to run a morning radio show and you can't pull up Orinoco fucking Flow.
Sorry, man. Sorry, Chris.
I can't come out of an up tempo song and talk about a goddamn dog.
Fucking dog dying.
Dog dying. He knows the Casey Kasem outtakes.
Fucking
now,
awesome.
We're up to our long distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation we can all understand.
You really
whether
know
we have
it.
Kids or pets or neither. It comes from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes.
Wow.
Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named... I'm going to start again. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do before, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to not come out of a record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. And make it what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week? This is the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is up tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
Oh shit! That is the best performance on this podcast ever.
Wow,
Nick, that you hit every intonation and little like
and stumble and pause. It was fucking perfect.
So. I think I've heard it a couple of times.
Holy shit. That was mind-blowing.
That was great.
That was mind-blowing.
I actually, without giving names, you know.
You knew Don?
But I know the guys that were there. That
really?
Day.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank them.
So was he prone to flipping out like that often?
Not
or was
like that. Apparently that was a... That was a rarity.
I would imagine most people listening to the podcast know about the Casey Kasem fuck-ups because they're legendary. But if you don't, just Google Casey Kasem swearing.
Yeah, they're part of that kind of collection of like recorded fuck-ups from that time. Like, there's that one. There's Sabotage from
Sabotage,
William Shatner.
Yeah.
I don't say Sabotage. I say Sabotage.
Oh, don't do that.
Orson Welles.
Yeah. Salad dressing.
Orson Welles, who just dismantles that poor engineer. Or he's like, if you can tell me how to start a word with in July, if you can tell me how this... the depths of your ignorance. If you can show me how that's possible, I'll go down on you. Like, you just fucking dismantled. You just...
And then, oh, you know what? Did you see they made a documentary off of those Shut Up Little Man tapes?
No.
You remember those tapes that you were circling around? It was like these two guys that lived next to these two older guys in an apartment, and these guys would just go off on each other, and these guys started recording them fighting. And like the thing that was said, it was like, what it was like? It's like, shut up, little man. And like, but like they made a documentary about that, those tapes. Cause I remember like that was like a guy gave me a mixtape, and he would always like put Shut Up Little Man snippets throughout the mixtape.
I remember I played that because he was a huge fan. Roger Ebert was a big fan of Orson Welles. I think he wrote a book about him or something. Yeah. And so we got into this conversation. This was another radio station.
Back when he could talk.
Yeah. And I played this. He had never heard of these outtakes. So I played that one outtake about, you know, get me a jury and I'll go down on you. And the whole thing about in and July, and that Roger Ebert spent the next 30 minutes defending Orson Welles. Well, you know he's right. And then the next day, Roger got cancer, and that was it.
Damn it. Well, did you ever hear the ones where there was a, I don't know how popular these were, but there were some people who would basically call, like, rednecks and say, oh, hello, I am from the Korean, it was like an adoption agency, and I'm not doing a disparaging voice, this is what it sounded like in the minute. The child that you have agreed to adopt from overseas has arrived, and he's ready to be picked up, and you just hear these rednecks like, what? What the fuck? God damn it! You and then like just like racial slurs and then just hear, this happened all too often.
I really miss those soundboard prank phone calls. Like, I remember like about 10 years
ago.
Schwarzenegger. That was good. The Pacino one is really good.
Joe Pesci was the best. That was a good one. Yeah, he took all those casino drops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any that we're missing?
There's a couple Home Alone ones.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Are there any that we're missing?
Any like old phone call stuff?
There were freakouts.
In studio freakouts. Man, I mean
I'm sure you guys have that CD that was bootlegged, I guess, years and years ago, and it had the Casey and it had John Wayne.
Oh, really?
You know, he was giving a speech at a local boys club or something like that, and he was drunk, totally drunk. Oh. And it was during the time of that whole, you know, the late 60s and the protests, especially the school protests and everything like that. And Wayne was, you know, he was John Wayne, and he was very much against all that. And he was saying, you know, well, it's getting to be goddamn ridiculous out there, you know? I mean,
is that where that drop? Yeah,
that one drop where he says that, you know, I went to the University of Southern California, and I mean, if we went to the dean's office and threw excrement on the dean's and if somebody's trying to prompt him like, what's your next word? In his waste paper basket. We as part of the USC football team would have kicked the goddamn hell out of him.
Now those were the days when celebrities really could live and no one knew shit that they were up to, because the studios squashed all of it because they controlled everything.
Well, it was protecting. Yeah. It was all protecting.
That's insane. And then the next day, he got cancer. That's crazy. That's really crazy. Well, do you have access to you? You must have a ton of that shit.
I don't have it here.
But of course.
I've kept, you know, those kind of things. But, you know, most of that stuff is accessible online. You know, you can find that. I mean, I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, There's a lot of old time actors that I don't think anybody had ever heard of.
I just had an experience where I was I never blow up at people. It's very rare that I ever blow up at people, but I was recording. I'm recording the audio version of my book. And so I was in a studio and I'm going through and I'm reading it and I see a pretty major error that I had asked to be corrected. But in the version that I had, it was not corrected. And it was a very important one because it's a thing that, you know, like how do you convert pounds to kilograms, and you take your, you know, you take this weight and divide it by 2.2 and then you get your weight in kilograms. But in the version that I had, for some reason they had changed it to grams.
Oh,
your weight in grams, which is a pretty major fuck up. That's not a typo. That's like, that's like me saying, oh, you can calculate, you know, your weight this way, and then and people weigh in grams.
Yeah.
Which we do. We just weigh a lot of grams.
Right. Multiply by 1,000.
And so I instantly call our manager, Alex, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm reading this book, and they said it's I can't change anything anymore, and it says your weight in grams, and it's not grams, and people are going to think I'm stupid. Ugh. And then I look up, and both the engineers are sitting there, and I was like, oh.
No, we're not recording.
They're like, we're not. As you can see, I'm just reaching, hitting
of
the
button. Yeah. Well, you know what they used to do is that some of these guys, you know, when they were recording syndicated shows or whatever, they'd have it in their contract that and this is the days of blade and tape. This is long before computers. Everything was done on 2-track. And, excuse me, everything that was an outtake just went right on the floor. And nobody could pick it. It was in their deal that they could not pick it up. And a separate company that had absolutely nothing to do with radio would come in and clean up, and that was that.
Wow.
But some of the outtakes were just too good and just ended up in the floor was really somebody's suitcase.
Oh, my gosh. Those were great. The days.
That was great.
That was really good stuff in those days.
How is... do you think Matt should be drinking more water during the day?
Oh, yeah. What's your sage advice for him?
Oh.
Well... I love that. Little Orinoco flow.
That's
Enya.
A good song. Yes.
I think you should take a yoga class. Hear me out.
When?
Before you go to work in the morning. Matt, take a yoga class. Let me sail. Let me take a yoga class. Let me breathe. Let me breathe. Let me bend over and heave. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. 5-hour energy. Drink more water in your diet and take care of yourself.
Okay.
Matt.
Is this all he'll get off cigarettes? Is this the way he gets off cigarettes?
I don't know how he gets off cigarettes. I want you to think of this song every time you go to pick up a cigarette.
Last time I got it, I got off just by getting sick.
Boom, boom.
Jonah, could you cut your Orinoco flow?
Now, how much do you smoke?
I smoke about, not a lot to my turn.
Just frequently.
10 a day.
Here's what's going to happen, though. Here's what's going to happen is that this job is, you know, you're going to be working a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to start smoking more.
I am already.
Because it's a gateway to, and then before you know it, it'll be like a pack a day, pack and a half.
Just a reason to get out of the office is like, you know, what you're going to use it for. It's like, I'm just going to stand
here's
outside.
Here's what I would say.
Get that far out of the office. It's like,
here's what I would say. There's the reason I would say take a yoga class or something is because part of what you're doing, I think, when you're smoking, because I know it's like there's a chemical thing. I smoked years ago. I understand. But there's something about smoking that people never think of, I think, which is that it focuses your breathing. Right. So you're breathing in and out very deeply. And when you're stressed out, you're all shallow and, you know, breathing up in your chest. So I think if you could take some yoga classes and learn to breathe properly, you could kind of detox some of that business so that you're not putting tar into your lungs.
Exactly. Just those breathing exercises like in through your mouth, out through your mouth.
Right.
Isn't it? That sucks. Isn't it bad enough that we live in Los Angeles? You're fucking smoking a pack of cigarettes a day anyway, just living here.
I didn't mean to.
And do you know what the most addictive part of cigarettes is? And I used to work for Philip Morris years ago.
Deliciousness?
No.
Oh.
Well, in a way, sugar.
What?
They put sugar in it.
Whoa, what?
They put sugar.
Boom.
It's
I can't have that on my diet.
You can't have the cigarettes on your diet. That's your way out.
Nice.
Because it helps burn the paper. They like the paper to burn. If you buy like a European cigarette, it's actually healthier for you in a way, because if you put the cigarette down, chances are it'll go out.
Oh, good. I smoke cloves.
No.
Don't go.
If you don't smoke cloves, do you?
Yeah.
You smoke cloves.
You smoke cloves?
Yes. He's put a knife in yourself. Why
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You and then, fucking idiot. I love you, but God damn it. Those are those make your lungs bleed.
Yeah, and they make you seem kind of like a goth kid, which is also pretty lame.
I'm into it.
From the 80s.
Oh.
Yeah. See you at the coffee shop.
No, seriously. You smoke cloves?
I do.
You don't smoke, do you smoke regular cigarettes, too?
No.
So you smoke cloves?
Oh, yeah, I smoke 10 cloves a day. Yeah.
Do you get them? Wow. Do you get them from Hot Topic or?
Do you... No, they don't sell them there.
I don't know any place. Does any place sell them?
Well, yeah. You see what happened in 2008. The cloves were made illegal in this country.
Yeah.
So what they did was they changed the filter on them and rebranded them as cigars.
Which also, I think the Obama administration is also trying to outlaw like flavored tobacco products.
They did. That was the thing with the cigarettes. Yeah.
Okay.
But they can't do that with cigars yet. So they're marketed as cigars. I mean, we're learning a lot today, guys.
Matthew,
yes,
you're gonna fucking kill yourself.
So how much is you smoke 10 clove cigarettes a day?
Yes.
Good.
And those are like two or three per, right? That's like the amount of...
what do you mean?
I don't know. Isn't that like... Don't they say like cloves have...
They have more tobacco. Well, you're getting a lot of other junk.
You're getting too. Delicious.
And the chemicals
extra,
go along with it.
It's extra delicious.
And how much do those cost a pack?
Oh, just $5 a pack.
Oh, just $5 a pack. Yeah. Okay, so you do that... So you do that. Okay, so that's $35 a week. $35 a week that
Matt's
he spends on
Matt's got the money rolling
I got
in.
It now, buddy. Just
yeah. What?
Oh, my God. We're responsible for his death because we made him richer so he could buy expensive cigarettes.
Fire him. That's the only way.
Okay, so you're spending about...
$12 in a pack.
So you're, right now you're spending about $1,300 a year.
You're not going to get him on that front because when you're addicted to something, people will always find money to pay for. When I was broke in college, I still found money to drink. You have got... They have sugar in them. How about that?
He must really feel we're ganging up on him.
He should, because I love him, and I don't want him to fucking... Feels. It's bad enough that you were smoking 10 cigarettes a day. Now that you're smoking 10 cloves a day, like you're at some kind of goddamn world rave.
I'm cooler, right?
Some world music rave.
Haven't you seen that commercial with the little girl who wants to be, like, really grown up, and she takes out a cigarette, and you say, hear this woman in the background.
It's not going
like
to scare
that.
Him. He's not going to care.
You're not going to care.
It doesn't matter.
He's not going
to
care.
I like the fact that he smokes because it gives us a reason to shit on him.
Yeah.
Used to just be because I was fat. Now
it was so earnest. I never made fun of you. The way you said that was so earnest. It gives us a reason to shit on him.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Sometimes we just take what we need.
Here's a clove for you, buddy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Jonah's been giving him cloves.
Here you go, you piece of shit. Smoke them if you got them. You don't got them? Here you go.
Now you got them.
Crimson and clover.
Oh, Matthew.
What?
Take care of yourself.
I try.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You...
I try.
Well, just do it. Daniel-san, you no try, you do.
You can't argue that
squish
I'm
like
not
grape.
Healthier now than I
do
was
or do not. There is no try, Daniel-san.
I think that might have been Yoda. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, I think it might have.
Get off my plane, Chewie. That's Josh Fadums. Yeah. It's my favorite Josh Fadum joke. Get off my plane, Chewie. I hate snakes, Chewie.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, maybe we can find another thing for you to get addicted to so we can tractor beam you onto
pornography.
Yes, please.
I do love titties.
Go crank one out every 10 times a day.
I can't be
lucky
bothered.
You.
Lemon drop. Suck on a lemon drop.
No, it's sugar.
That sounds like an old-timey insult. Go suck on a lemon drop.
Go suck on a lemon. I was in Seattle and this past weekend. I went to PAX, which was amazing. It was really fun. And I found this one, just sort of walking near Pike's Place. There is a giant wall in an alley. I'll show you a picture of it. It is thousands and thousands and thousands of people's gum that they've stuck to the wall. So, but it's weirdly gorgeous.
Yeah,
so there's
it sounds neat looking.
Old stone wall with just like as you know, like two stories high with just gum and like you know a block long.
Yeah.
And there was someone put one of those dumb like bridal shower dick straws in the gum, and so it just sat like that concept sounded like an old timey thing. Like, that's worse than a dick straw and a gum wall. Like, that sounded like a thing to me.
I think that could still work in any context.
It's like a dick straw and a gum wall.
That's
Matthew, you're like a dick straw and a gum wall right now.
Tell me something I don't know.
Ah, fuck. PAX was great. We saw Will Wheaton there and a bunch of other cool nerds, and we played a bunch of games. The Sega had a party at GameWorks, and we went and played games for a couple hours, and it was really fun.
That sounds like a blast.
It was good times.
Any clove cigarettes?
No, because I don't need those to have a good time.
You weren't with the cool kids, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry. Lay off me, guys. Whatever.
Lay off yourself, Matt.
Whoa, Chris.
I'm sorry, Joan. I didn't mean for it to come to that, but this is serious.
I understand, but we can't get our emotions all wrapped up in this situation.
I'm Jonah Ray, and that's one to grow on. All right, we'll lay off you about that, but seriously.
I mean, hey, that's what it takes, encouragement.
Stop doing this, you dumb piece of shit.
I don't know if that's really encouraging in any way.
Matthew, we love you. We want you to take care of yourself.
I am going for it.
That didn't sound very convincing.
I got a Keurig. Those are awesome.
Oh, I hate Keurigs.
I love them.
Mm.
And somehow they managed.
But I made friends. I bought them because Dunkin' Donuts started making K-Cup. So
they started making K-Cup?
Yeah. You know, the single serve coffee thing.
Oh, I thought you meant they were making K-Cup. Oh, let's make some cakes up. Whatever.
No, K-Cup. Cups.
Oh, cake cups.
They make K, the letter K, followed by the word cups.
Keurig.
Cake cups.
Yeah.
Korean cups?
Keurig.
Oh.
You know those individual single serve coffee makers?
The ones they have in all the.
The snazzy ones.
Yeah. You just put it in, it makes one cup of shitty coffee.
Well, they'll never be sponsored out.
Nope. Sorry.
Anyway, I liked it.
Not trying to get that Bed Bath & Beyond sponsorship?
I really just want some Impulse Buy refrigerator magnets that are shaped like smaller appliances.
Oh, they don't money.
What's the problem with that?
It looks like sushi.
I really want a closet caddy.
The closet caddies are actually pretty handy.
They're pretty. I have to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I need to get some.
Let's do it.
What?
They're going to be fun.
What?
We'll all go together.
Let's all go to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
Matthew's falling behind. He's wheezing again.
Hey, I just watched Bill Burr's special that's on Let It Go, the one that's on Netflix.
Loved
it. Watch. God, it's so good.
Bill Burr is a fucking dynamo.
Yeah. I finally caught up to his episode of Breaking Bad, too, so that was kind of neat.
Oh, Bill Burr. You know, watching him in Montreal, when we did that, we had him on the podcast, which we will put up soon. And
that's right. That hasn't been gone up.
No. The one with Bill Burr and Reggie Watts.
Oh, that's a good episode.
It's a great episode. And Bill, you know, I just love why Bill is one of my favorite people to watch perform because, you know, I don't get to see him that often. And every time I see him, he's got a whole new chunk. And it's just like watching a master craftsman at work with like, oh, my God, I fucking love what he did with that stuff. It is he dives deep into premises and he comes up with angles that that completely surprise you and they're fucking amazing.
Yeah, they're so good. And so,
I love Bill Burr.
Yeah, they're great. It's a good special. I highly recommend to anybody.
It's on Netflix. It's streaming.
Yeah, it's streaming right now.
Did you guys, any of you see the Doctor Who episode?
I did.
Oh, I guess we can't really talk about it.
We
could. Fuck. Spoiler alert.
We can talk about it vaguely.
Nah,
I still have to catch up with the first half.
Yeah. Spoiler alerts. Hey, man, you've changed.
Do you have cable? No, you can afford it. I forgot.
Yeah, I have a job.
Yeah.
There's an opening at the Apple store. Fuck, never mind.
I'm sure they filled it with some other nerd who was in line waiting.
They did actually fill it with a kid who had been gone for like some sort of back injury. And by kid, I mean guy that has like an 8-pack and works out all the time and DJs in the spare time. But he couldn't work because of his back. And now that I left, he could go back. Whatever.
That story
was really good, right?
Cool story, bro.
It was really good.
Cool story, bro.
Really
cool story, bro.
And then I smoked a clove.
So, God damn it. I have a theory that you can make any story awesome, but like if you get to a story that does that, you're like, oh no, that this points me, I don't have a point at the end. Just end it with, and then I jerked off, and that will save any story. I went to the store the other day, and I was trying to find these.
It's true most of the time.
Trying to find these fruity, like the fruity cereal, like the one on the bottom rack, and they're like, oh, we don't have them, and you know, so they had to go in the back, and I was waiting there for like 15 minutes, and they finally came out, and I, you know, like they had a box version of it, but it wasn't the bag. And then I jerked off.
Wait, what?
Awesome story now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, That happened there? No. Like later on that day when I got home, I was by myself bored. Oh, that's nothing to do with the cereal then.
It was a fun point that I thought I'd tack on there. No, I just fucking cranked it right there in the cereal aisle. Yeah. Like, here's some milk for your Cheerios.
And then I died eventually. We all do.
Someday. Not yet. Not yet. I'm speaking in the future in the past. Just as convoluted as possible. I enjoyed the new Doctor Who episode, but we shouldn't talk about it because some people haven't seen it yet, and I don't want to bump
it. Well, let's just say I liked his coat. That's not a spoiler.
That is not a spoiler. The coat was very cool. It's a little bit of a new haircut.
Yep.
On the Matt Smith.
Ooh, a haircut.
A haircut. Vaginal.
There's been some good reception with the Jonah's Arcade pilot online.
I think there was a fantastic reception with the Jonah's Arcade pilot. And how have you been reading comment threads?
Yeah, of course.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know, because a lot of them have been good.
What are like some of the ones that have gotten under your skin?
Just people, just the amount of people going, you should make it into a web show. And people who make web shows don't make money. So there, that one's out. Also, the fact that people persistently say that it's a Tosh ripoff show.
Mm-hmm.
And why would Comedy Central want this when it's such a Tosh ripoff show? First of all, Comedy Central asked us to make it and in that style.
Yep.
Let's get that first.
Second of all, they ripped off their show.
Yeah, exactly. And second of all, sure, it is Tosh-esque, but Tosh-esque is soup-esque. And the soup-esque is talk soup and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And, there's basically no one really.
Everything's ripped off of something, for Christ's sake.
Exactly.
What makes a show different isn't the format, it's the voice.
Yeah.
Within the format, that's what makes shows different.
And, I watched it back. I look at that and it doesn't really seem like me. And I know I complained about how I had to change a bunch of stuff about my physical appearance. But also my arm was fucking in insane amounts of pain.
Because you broke your arm
doing it. And I don't know. It's I try not to get upset but I also would love to all the people that comment saying, someone too much like Tosh. Why would Comedy Central want this? I'm like, they did want it, but then the way they made it happen, they didn't want it anymore.
It's almost like people commenting on the internet don't have the full story but decide to make judgments anyway.
Yeah. And that's fine. Let them. They don't know.
I think it's funny that new MTV show, Ridiculousness.
Ridiculousness.
The Rob Dreddick show. Someone changed Rob Dreddick's. Someone sent me a picture of this. Someone changed Rob Dreddick's Wikipedia page to.
I think it's Deer Deck.
Whatever. I'm not fucking 15. I don't know who he is.
Can't wait to see what he says about me.
Someone was like, Rob Dyrdek hosts the new MTV show Web Soup. Someone changed it to Web Soup.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen the show, but you said the funny thing you said was that, listen, here's the thing about the kinds of shows we make. I'm very aware of the show that Web Soup is and the kind of show we're making. It's like, hey, we ripped off the soup. They're producing it. Whatever. It's a format that works.
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is. It's exactly like the soup, but it's me and my voice and web videos. Whatever.
I
never pretend that the show is anything more than it is, but it is what it is, and that's fine. But you said you saw an interview where he was like, we just riff on the show.
He says, it's like, we don't do that whole thing having writers write jokes for these videos. We just riff and have fun like friends doing it. But I don't mean to call them out and say anything like that, but I know writers that wrote on the show. I know people that made jokes for those videos on the show. And I'm sure there is a lot.
No, man, we just fucking riff whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly. It's all off the top of my dome. It's I remember that when, what was that fucking improv
kids.
Show?
Kids are adorable.
What was the improv show? Wildin' Out. Nick Cannon wiling
the quote unquote improv.
Yeah, he's going. I remember this one episode I watched where he's like, yo, man, this is all off the top of the dome. This is we make this stuff on the spot. And he has a bottle, a water bottle in his hand. And then it's the DJ guy goes, yo, Nick, what's that in your hand? He's all, oh, this is something that keeps me seeing double but feeling single. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's fucking fuck you. That was not. You just got done saying nothing. It was all off the top of your head, and then you have a totally thing set up.
To be fair, he said it was off the top of his dome.
I didn't know the dome was the writer's room, what they call the writer's room.
The only person who should be able to say that phrase is R2-D2. That is it.
And Patrick Stewart.
That upset me. But you know,
Patrick Stewart episode going up next week, by the way. Patrick Stewart episode going up next week.
Nice. Look forward to hearing it.
Yep.
Oh.
He was awesome. He was all kinds of awesome.
Did you hear that, Matt?
What?
Did you hear how awesome he was?
Matt, this is Patrick Stewart. Wish you would stop smoking cloves.
Oh, I better stop.
Only the power of Professor Xavier could make Matt stop smoking cloves.
Yeah, and they try Professor to cover Xavier. Up, that's but it's I'm too late. Of. I've seen everything.
Damn it. The Nerdist TV pilot is airing September 24th, by the way, and
we need you all to watch.
Please do. Craig Ferguson
needs you to watch.
And
it.
Matt Smith are the guests.
Okay.
Matt Smith and Craig Ferguson and Mike Furman's on the show, and me and Matt and Jonah. And I believe it's going to air after Doctor Who on September 24th at 10/9 Central,
which would make it after the Doctor Who finale.
Oh shit! Is that
which
right?
Which would make it the BBC America's Super Bowl.
They're putting us in the sweet spot.
So if it doesn't do well,
Chris,
we really fucked
our viewers dropped from 4 million to Doctor Who to 4. Wait, 400,000? No, 4. Right.
You, Jonah, Matt, and his mother.
I'm pretty sure Craig and Matt Smith didn't watch, so it's really just you and Mr. Furman.
Mr. Furman. Yeah, it would be really awesome if everyone watched that. And
so we could make some more.
Yeah, I think you guys will like it. I think it stays pretty true to how the...
I would love it.
How this actually is, except you get to watch us. And I'd imagine it's going to be weird for a lot of people.
And if we make more... I promise you, it'll be even better.
But here's something that's really funny. Some site wrote about something that I'm working on, and they referred to me as MTV's Chris Hardwick. Now, this is supposed to be like...
This is Entertainment Weekly. We already talked about this.
It wasn't Entertainment Weekly. No, it wasn't Entertainment Weekly. It was
a different site?
Different site. It was Blaster. It was Blaster. Sci-fi's like sci-fi news site.
Oh, okay.
And so they...
Are it sponsored by Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Sci-fi news.
Sorry,
Blaster.
I didn't mean that. Get to the
comments.
They referred to me as MTV's Chris Hardwick. And listen, I'm not ashamed of what I've done in the past. It's silly, and I don't mind if people bring it up at all. But to say now, like, that's the thing that... It's like, and that was 13 years ago. I've done a few other things since then.
You should check your contract, though. I'm pretty sure you signed a contract that says you will forever be known as MTV's Chris Hardwick.
You're right.
Yeah, you are in breach of contract every time you don't introduce yourself to someone.
Like Vince McMahon owns The Rock.
Yeah, exactly.
The name The Rock. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I tweeted him and I was like, hey, way to be current, guys. Here's your next headline. Night Court canceled. And then, of course, a bunch of the awesome nerds who follow me are like, what's Bull going to do? Like, they always follow the Night Court. It was really awesome.
Space or something?
What?
How it ended? Didn't Bull go to, like, wasn't Bull an alien?
I don't remember the last episode of Night Court.
Like,
and I watched
happened.
That. I was religious about that show. And it's been so long that I don't remember what the last episode of Night Court was.
Yeah, I could be wrong.
Off to the internet!
You remember there was a 30 Rock episode where...
Harry Anderson?
They had the whole reunion. They had the Night Court reunion. It was
Tracy Morgan always wanted to see the last episode of Night Court, like see how it would have ended, so they made one for it.
Yeah.
They got everybody together.
That show is... Mwah.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Our show, we also have live shows that we're touring with. We're in New York on October 14th.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to be adding an 8 o'clock show because I think the 10:30 show is close to sold out.
Damn.
Then October 22nd, we're going to be in Portland. And then we have some other shows. We're at the DC. We're in DC at the 9:30
Club. I am so excited for the 9:30 Club.
Are you excited?
Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
I am really into this old hardcore band called Minor Threat. Mm-hmm. They made a big influence in my life.
I'm aware of Minor Threat.
They made a big deal. They were a big deal in my life. And they put out a video. A VHS tape of Minor Threat live, but the first like they had it was like this very well shot set, but before that set started they have this like really blurry shitty black and whitey footage of them at the 9:30 Club.
And
like it's it's always been a thing in my head, and I know it's just a rock club that you know they played at, and probably a lot of shitty bands have played at.
Yeah, but it's significant to you.
Yeah, and it's really I'm so fucking excited.
I like the idea of them influencing you, like, hey Jonah, stay off drugs. Okay, Minor Threat.
Well, then pretty much that. Yeah, like I didn't want to do drugs or drink, and then like I felt weird about it. Hearing Minor Threat and their song Straight Edge, it made me like I was like, wait, these guys are cool and they're making fucking rad music. And then I don't have to feel like a dork for not wanting to drink or not wanting to do drugs.
Why didn't you stay that way?
It's because I found a way to have fun. no, I mean, like, it's like I never once regret being straight edge. I'm proud of the fact that I was straight edge. I know there's like a big thing in the community where it's like, you know, oh, you betrayed your friends, you stabbed in the back, all that kind of songs. True Till Death, Nailed to the X. Like, there's all these other old hardcore bands that have songs about staying, you know, straight edge, and like even more songs about their friends that stopped being straight edge, you know, and like, and you know, it's. It makes it easier when you hear, you know, tales of Ian MacKaye enjoying a beer at a show, you know, just kind of, you know, it was about just being and I think it gave me an identity in growing up, you know, in like middle school and high school.
You manufacture an identity. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think so.
Like we all did.
Some guys get into sportsing.
I don't know. That
other guys smoke cloves.
Yeah, exactly. Like and go to goth clubs. You know, when you were going to all those Cure Fests. But like I'm very excited that we're playing there. I enjoy the fact that I was there. I don't mind that I'm not anymore.
Early, just so I can see Apollo 11 in the Smithsonian.
You can go a day early. You can fucking
totally
go a day
early. It's gonna see the Apollo 11.
That's
in the
planes fly every day. You can go there. Really and yeah. What's fun is I think the structure of the show should be. Matt opens the show with like 7 minutes.
Everybody? I smoke cloves. Ha ha ha.
Okay, so 7 minutes of that, and then Jonah,
and then things start to get good.
And then Jonah, you do like 15 minutes, and then I'll do a longer set, and then we'll all come out together and
do a clean 40.
You just hit your thing. Huh?
Do a clean 40.
Yeah, there you go. And then in cities where we can get special guests, we'll get special guests.
Yeah, in DC we should get Ian MacKay.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
What?
We should get Ian MacKay to come.
Okay.
You know he's a fan of Kumail's.
Is he really?
Yeah, he likes Kumail.
Well, let's try to get him on.
Yeah, we should.
Kurt Loder follows me on Twitter.
Do you think we could get Barack Obama? We're going to be in D.C.
Barry? Well, I'll let all the our old bratas down back in the islands.
Yeah. Let them out there.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, we got you and I are on a live show this Saturday at the LA
FYF Fest
because
fuck yeah fest
because they needed sponsors. They turned it to FYF Fest, but it's awesome. I've been a part of it for 8 years now. This is the 8th year I've been setting up the comedy with it. And it's a great lineup. Emo fucking Phillips is going to be there.
I'm so excited about that.
Mark Maron has so many fucking
you,
awesome.
You, Kumail.
Me and Kumail hosting it. There's going to be three sets of comedy throughout the night. Jim Hamilton, Matt Bronger, Matt Dwyer.
I think I'm going up at like 2:45 in the afternoon something.
Well, we're in a tent, so it's like, you know, it's still. But yeah, Sean, the guy who, you know, puts the fest together, didn't want any of the comics going up against the headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't want, like, you know, like, because he knows a lot of the comics on the shows want to see the bands and stuff like that.
And the comics don't want to be performing opposite the thing that people are coming out to the festival
exactly.
For.
So he wants it, you know, it's like they're all through the day and they're, you know, me and Kumail are going to be hosting each one suffering from heat stroke the more we go
drink
along.
Drink plenty of water.
Don't joke about it.
Don't smoke close cigarettes. Happen. Don't wear jackets.
No, they can wear anything.
Okay, good.
I was wearing a jacket as a tribute to Paul Cevis.
Oh, that's really funny.
But it's
permission granted.
It's going to be a fun. I'm very excited.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Tickets are still available, and it's this Saturday.
This Saturday. Fuck yeah.
I can't wait to hear about all the people saying, no need to go to your hipster fest, bro.
Where does it...
If someone says, bro...
Then don't hang out with them. Where is it?
It's at downtown Los Angeles Downtown Historic Park, I think it's called. Like downtown Los Angeles.
What a romantic name.
You've been there. It's where they have the Renegade Craft Fair.
Oh yeah, Renegade, yeah.
That whole place is like fenced off. And there's like stages
I
everywhere.
I love Renegade Craft Fair.
Yeah, it's great. I went and got an awesome. Easy. Did I tell you the thing I got last time I went?
No.
It was an old timey map. Which had like 1898, and it's like the different outbreaks of zombie attacks in the Pittsburgh area.
Genius.
And it's brought to you by Romero and Sons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My favorite thing I ever got at Renegade Craft Fair is it's like an 8x10 picture frame, and it has corkboard in it, and someone knitted a frog, and then it's pinned open, and there's like these knitted organs coming out
awesome.
Of it. So it fucking awesome. Yeah, Renegade Craft Fair is a win.
It's a blast. And it's just like cool just to go and look around.
Yeah, there's tons. I've gotten so much great stuff there.
Yeah.
It's not a space junket.
You went last time?
I got a shirt, got some prints. It was good times.
I bought you that shirt.
Well, good then.
John bought me a shirt. I got some prints.
You did?
Good times.
Prints
of Dr.
Purple
Who.
Rain? Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant prints.
Little cartoons of Doctor Who with a fez on one side and then on the other side he doesn't have a fez.
Can we just talk for a second about the weird Jim Carrey video?
Yeah.
I didn't see it, though. I didn't watch
it. I didn't see it. I saw yours.
You posted a response video?
Yeah. It was hard for me to tell at first, like, is he fucking serious? Because there was a lot of real stuff in it that he was saying. But then there were a couple things where I'm like, okay, he's fucking around. And then the way that he was promoting his website, like, I think it was intended to be a comedy video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it was intended to be a comedy video. And then I made one that was, and I literally made it in 5 minutes and put it up on, you know, Funny or Die. And
Actually did better than I thought it was good. I thought I was going to get like a 10% approval rating. but in my video, it was in, I moved recently and in my office, there's nothing on the walls. And so everything's just very spare. And there's like a white couch behind me with a TARDIS pillow that someone made for me when last time I performed in DC. And so many people were like, where did you get the TARDIS pillow?
Not even paying attention.
Well, I don't care. That's what I would have noticed too. Yeah, yeah. So I completely forgot it was in the background. Funny. So I thought it was, that was awesome. That was fun. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I really think I got a shot with Emma Stone.
Yeah.
She probably fucking loves the shit out of this podcast.
You really took the wind out of Carrie's sails. should we... Hormone?
Do you have a hormone?
I don't. I just figured
why would you say that then?
What?
Dear Matt Myra, why do you smoke cloves?
Don't we always do it?
I don't know.
I just always figured...
Is that a bad idea to bring it up? We should have it. We should have a Quement or two.
Jesus Christ, Matt.
Jesus Christ, Jonah.
Whoa! Retract thy blades from your flesh, your swift flesh. I can't get a signal in here, so I can't get any of the goddamn comments. I know you can't get IMAP. Okay, here we go. Here's a question and some comments.
It's a pressure.
It's a
someone. Pressure. Someone else like my tech commendation song. It was like, how come no one pointed out that Jonah Ray was using the Chippendales Rescue Rangers theme song?
Yes, awesome.
I think we all, didn't we make reference to that?
I don't think
trying
so.
To,
I said something about Monterey Jack.
Trying to get internet. Hey, you know what? With the government trying to knock down AT&T's purchase of T-Mobile, they should just send them a little thing that says, no service,
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. I can't get any comments here because
I'm not.
I just can't get a fucking signal. Why would I be able to get a signal in the middle of Los Angeles? I mean, that's crazy. This crazy rural area that we live in. No, well, I know there's more people here. They choke out the network. I understand how it works.
In like a giant Faraday cage inside a granite building.
Hang on a sec. Okay, here we go. The emails have come in. Here we go. This is a comment from Jennifer Ann Staggs. A comment for Matt, Jonah, and Chris. Can you look back and think of the moment you laughed the hardest in your life? I'm sure as comedians you were constantly giggling, chuckling, or even guffawing. Is there a bit or a movie scene that you will always think, that is the hardest I've ever laughed? Mine was during the MST3K episode, Mitchell. Thanks, Jen S.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I used to watch movies late at night in my bedroom, and I had surround sound, and it was right next to my parents' bedrooms, and sometimes... not the surround sound would make them wake up. It would be me laughing my ass off at like just like old Simpsons episodes. I think the hardest I remember laughing was when it originally aired, the April Fool's episode of The Simpsons, when Bart takes Homer's beer to the paint mixer and he mixes it and he goes April Fool's and then the house blows up.
Yeah. Yep. April.
As a child, that fucking killed me. Like, I was hysterically laughing, and I still remember that moment of seeing that the first time.
When I was a kid, it was probably during Airplane. That's probably when I laughed. But I feel like times in my life where I've laughed the hardest are maybe during dirty, sexy situations where it's, you know, where it's stuff happens, and you're just like,
yeah.
And you can't stop the... Yeah. You can't stop the laughing.
The times in my life where I laugh the most is when, like, you know, someone kind of fucks up, like, real badly. Like, it's like this actually happened a couple times during the VMAs where it's like Sean O'Connor, who's this great comic, just has to say a joke when he thinks of it. And, like I went through the we had to go through metal detectors, and, like, I had my phone. I was like, oh, I have my phone in it. It didn't go off. He's all, and it didn't go off because of your robot dick. And then there was just this hot girl right next to him, and she just goes, thank you. Like, and then I couldn't stop laughing for like a
like,
half
like hour. Sarcastic. She was like, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And like stuff like that. Then there was this one time where
Did you just say thank you? You just made my robot dick hard.
The hardest we've laughed together was when we were walking.
That was a great moment too.
Just let one rip.
But you tripped.
I coughed, tripped, and farted all the right same time.
Right next to these two hot girls walking by.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, shit.
That is it.
It was loud.
Almost queef related.
No, yeah, very similar in many respects.
Very good.
That's fantastic.
Good stuff, you guys. We're at an hour. If you have anything to say, anything more to say, say it now.
I found a new British antique show called Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is. I highly recommend it if you're on BBC.
Jonah.
Oh, God, I was just having the worst dream, Chris.
No, it's really happening.
What?
Here's what I would like. I would like people to watch our program on the 24th of September. Just so we can stick around and maybe the BBC can send me and Jonah out to be contestants on Bargain Hunt.
That's okay. there was a funny moment on the pilot, when the part when Matt goes, yay, and I just stay straight. Just
right. Yes. So
I remember I had such a hard time keeping a straight face.
He just looks right at you and you're like, that was such a fucking great moment.
Yay!
And you just turn and look at him.
Don't ruin it for the kids.
I know, I'm sorry. It was my favorite fucking moment.
Me too.
I'm pretty sure that stayed in the final cut.
Yeah, it did.
I think it stayed in the final
edit.
The
last cut.
Yeah. That's awesome. Wonderful. Well, that wraps up another...
Music recommendation really quick. The band Waves, WAVVES, really awesome kind of...
The Oneaters!
The Oneaters. Waves, they're from San Diego. They just released a single today, or yesterday, called I Want to Meet Dave Grohl, and it's a fucking great fucking song.
The Waves, two Vs.
Yeah.
By the way, how come you didn't talk to Bryan Cranston about being in That Thing You Do?
When I got home, I realized that we never talked to him about fucking his hilarious Seinfeld turn as the dentist.
Yeah, the Seinfeld. Like, yeah.
So you know what? But
you're an anti-dentist.
The thing with a guy like Cranston is like you could just there are 50 so million much. Things that you can talk about.
And we never asked him about Total Recall, so on and so forth.
Yeah. It was hard. I mean, just hearing his voice. Like I watched so much Breaking Bad now that's he is Walter White to me.
Yeah. I have a music recommendation.
What's that?
Thanks to RDO. I have been listening to Jenny Owen Young's album Transmitter Failure, which I am thoroughly enjoying.
Awesome.
She's good people.
Shit, I feel like I need to have one now, too.
You're not on RDO too much.
I know I'm not.
Every once in a while, see, like, Chris added this to his collection. I was like, I think Chris owns that album. Why does he?
I forget to, I get busy and I travel a lot and I bring in and go on.
Well, it's not like a thing that you go on. It's a thing that, do you listen to music much?
Yeah, I listen to music tons, constantly.
I so much more now that I am in an office. Like, just throw my headphones on and get a, script done or something. It's like fucking, it's great. Like, I get it. I get why he used to listen to so much music, you guys.
I don't have anything new that I've been listening to that I... No. I'm a bad person.
Pretty good punk album called from a band called Cerebral Ballsy. Is that...
That's really good. Oh, my God. That is fucking amazing, that
it's
name.
A fucking good band, too.
I'm so jealous I didn't think of that. All right. Well, I will see you guys very, very soon. And I guess...
we'll see you, enjoy. America.
Will you see us?
Please.
Please. Yeah.
Please enjoy our burrito. Yay. I went there today, and I had it, and I enjoyed it.
You went to the burrito stand, damn it?
Yeah, I went to Baja Fish.
Were they like,
today.
What?
I went to Baja Fish.
And were they like, Jonah, thanks
They have no idea.
No?
They have no idea.
I'll tell you this, Anna's Taqueria follows me on Twitter. So
that's kind of cool.
I think it's awesome, personally.
Good for you. Was the burrito just as good as you remember?
Yeah, it was me and Mike Henry, former web soup writer. Yeah. We went, and he was like, every time I drive down here, I'm thinking it's not going to be worth it, and then I'm wrong.
I got to go with you the next time. Yeah. We should have a tweet up there once.
I'm sure they would be really weirded out by the amount of nerds that would be in there, but yes, we should do it.
It's pretty far. I don't know how many people would show up. Yeah, I don't know how many
far
people
from
would
who?
San
it's
Pedro.
Pretty far
from
out there.
All of our Hollywood listeners.
No, but I mean, it's far from Los Angeles proper, San Pedro.
That is actually Los Angeles proper.
I guarantee you most people... In Los Angeles don't even know that there's a fucking harbor in Los Angeles with ships and
I do thanks to Disney's advertising now leaving from Los Angeles Disney Cruise Lines.
How do they do that? Do they pull the boat up through the LA River?
They land in LAX to the ocean. Has wings and then it goes in the ocean like the spruce goose.
Local references lost most of the audience.
Torrance, California.
Hey.
Hey.
How about these potholes on the Brea?
Oh, can you handle it?
Who is not with
me? Have you seen Sixth Street? I mean, come on with the potholes.
I was just in Lomita, California. Oh, God. Go to Baja Fish and enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your fucking burrito coming out of an up-tempo song. God damn it, is Don on the phone? Where's that burrito I was supposed to enjoy?
God damn it.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMeeting, the award-winning web conferencing service. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com and enter the promo code Nerdist.